One, two. Yep, there we are. Great. All right, well, when you came this morning, you would have noticed there's a few things missing. Anyone notice that? No? Okay. I won't insult your intelligence. Basically, I've got a bit of a setup here. That's for a little bit later. So this is an interactive service. Okay? So it requires you to do something at some point. Okay? So you can look forward to that. My message today is very simple. It's not rocket science. You may very well have heard it before, but my prayer is that through the simplicity of this message, there will be a powerful move of the Spirit and people will be released from whatever is holding them back from living the victorious life God has purposed for them. I will share for a bit and then want to lead you into a time of worship where I believe God is going to meet some very deep needs as you open up your heart and respond to Him in a very practical way. The Scripture teaches us that it was for freedom that Christ set us free in Galatians 5:1. Also says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus. And I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. What great scriptures. However, in order to walk in that freedom, we need to break free of the sinful nature that so easily entangles us. And we need to lay down our burdens and the burdens of others which we have so willingly taken on. We need to lay them at the foot of the cross and leave them there. Well, preferably this should be a continual process. But realistically, we deliberately should focus our attention on it at least once a day. So the questions remain. Are we walking in the freedom that Christ died to give us? Are we living the victorious, abundant life promised in the Scripture? If your answer to both of these questions was no, then you really do need to hear what I'm about to say in this message. However, if your answer was yes, then I would pose another question to you. Why is it, and I'm talking about me as well here, why is it that we spend most of our time walking around with the weight of the world on our shoulders? That job belongs to Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In Jesus' time, farmers used yokes to harness oxen together to share the workload. Jesus invites us to share the workload with him, which is great. Yep, back in. Which is great because he does most of the work. It's a bit like helping Rob out with the op shop pickup and deliveries. If you have to lift anything heavy without a trolley, you simply put Rob on the heavy end and listen to the grunts and moans as you offer encouraging words and look as best you can that you're really struggling. You can ask Eric. We're pretty good at that, aren't we, mate? Top bloke Rob, he and Eric and the boys do a great job of keeping the op shop ladies busy. But if we're yoked together with Jesus, why do we keep trying to shoulder the heavy loads that life tend to throw at us? So what is it that might be weighing you down? You may think that you're doing okay, but I'm here today at the Lord's prompting to tell you it gets better. We're broken people living in a broken world. As Casting Crowns puts it so eloquently in one of their songs, what this world needs is a Saviour who will rescue, a Spirit who will lead, and a Father who will love them. That's what this world needs. I brought along a few props today just to help illustrate some points, and I've asked a volunteer from the congregation who doesn't mind standing for a while and doesn't have a back problem. Okay, I've asked them if they come and give me a bit of a hand. So if Brendan wouldn't mind coming forward,
I picked a nice big strapping lad. So what we call prime quality muscle. Okay. So what I'm going to do, Brendan, is I'm going to ask you to, you might want to adjust the strap, but I'm going to ask you to put that backpack on. Okay. And we're going to get you to come and stand probably just over here somewhere. And we're going to give you some presents shortly. So we'll just see where you can get wrapped up first. Does that feel all right? Strengthen up all right? Reasonably comfortable? Okay, excellent. Okay, so this backpack, and turn around and show them. This backpack represents a part of your life. The place where you try to hide the things that you struggle to give God control over in your life. These rocks, and I've got a few select over here and some small ones, these represent the various things that the devil tries to use to weigh you down and affect the quality of your life, your relationship with God and with others. So let's have a look what we may find over here. You notice how the rocks come in different sizes. And that's a reason, because some have a greater impact upon your life than others. So I've got some pebbles here, and that's for a little bit later. Okay, so you're not going to be getting too many pebbles, I'm afraid, mate. Okay, but these are some nice big river rocks. They're down near our place in the creek, so I'll have to go and put them back afterwards. Not around my garden, but anyway. So basically, I'm going to get you to come over here, Brendan, because we're going to sort of load you up as we go along here. So let's have a look at this first rock. Okay, that's a pretty decent one. You just want to hang on to that. What does that feel all right? Okay. This one represents broken lives. So we'll just pop this one in there at the moment. Okay. Feel not too bad. A little bit of weight, though. You can feel it. If you had to go for a bit of a long walk or a bit of a hike, you might just feel it a bit. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is where we find unconfessed sin or habitual sin. Broken lives. Perhaps you've never sought God for His forgiveness. Perhaps you've had a continual rejection of His authority over your life. Well, today's your chance to do something about it. Because sitting in this bag is that unconfessed sin, and it's weighing heavily upon your life. Well, perhaps this is something that you might want to deal with a little bit later, and I would encourage you not to leave this building without having done something about where you stand in terms of your relationship with God. Well, maybe it represents something else for you. Okay, perhaps you already know God, but there's some areas of your life that you just can't seem to trust God to deal with. Well, these might be addictions of some form or another, habitual sin. I have an addiction. In fact, I've got two. And this is no joke. I mean, I've been addicted to these ever since I was a young lad. And that is food, which you can see. That's pretty obvious. And the other one is television. Because when I was a lad, I used to watch quite a bit of television. It was so ingrained into my life that as I became into an adult, I still love my food too much and I still love my television too much. And they affect my life. They affect the things I want to do. They affect the quality of my life. They affect the things that God wants to do in my life. And so for me, they're things that I have to surrender to God, and I have to continually surrender them to Him. Okay, having said that, I'm going to put another bit of a rock in the bag for that. I sort of spoke too long about that one, so I probably need some more. Okay, laziness. This one's a classic. I was reading in a book about John Wesley and how many sermons he used to have to prepare a year and how many visits he used to do. And after I read that, I thought, I'm never going to complain about doing anything for ministry, because that man was unbelievable. If you want to read about it sometime, see what he used to do. I don't know where he got the energy for it. I mean, it had to be supernatural. It had to be given by God to do what he did. And yet, I'll be the first one to complain if someone actually gives me a job to do that requires me to lose a bit of sleep. Okay? But laziness. Okay? I mean, my stepdaughter knows this, Tiffany. I have a bit of a thing about people getting out of bed late. I don't know about you, but it was ingrained into me. My dad used to say to me that half the day's gone by 9 o'clock. Okay? And so I find it very hard. I can't lie in bed after 9 o'clock. Now, I know in this world that we have today, we've got all different kind of work requirements and ethics, and people work all around the clock and things like that, and it's pretty tough for some people. But honestly, sometimes I think we get pretty lazy and we just take that a little bit more than what we need, and we should really think about it. Poor choices that come from not listening to God or being disobedient to Him. There's probably a couple I made this morning. Okay. Perhaps you've experienced failure in your life. Okay, and have allowed it to dictate your future responses to the challenges that life presents. Have you failed in your studies? I did. I started off to be an engineer because I wanted to be like my dad. He was a good engineer. But you know, I discovered that there were lots of things that happened at university that are a lot more pleasurable than study. And I learned the hard way. Fortunately, God rescued me and showed me I'd be a better teacher than I would be an engineer. And that solved the problem somewhat. So I did do a bit better. But what about your ministry? You know, have you really striven to be faithful to God and you've just seen it fall flat in your face time and time again? What about your life in general? Are there times when you've just felt an absolute failure about what you've done? I know I have. And sometimes that weighs heavy. You might put it aside, you might talk to God about it, but you know later in the piece, it comes back again. Because the devil just keeps trying, the accuser just keeps trying to put it in there to try and make you feel about this high. So then you're not in a place where you can really serve God effectively. You don't listen to the devil because he wants you to know you're a failure. And as he listens to that kind of thing, you know what? Every little thought that he puts in your mind adds a rock to the bag, weighs you down. Well, perhaps you failed to live up to your own expectations, or maybe to the expectations of others. Perhaps you've been the victim of other people's behaviour, or maybe you've even suffered the loss of your freedom. I could probably put a few more rocks in the bag for that. Sorry, Brendan, how are you going there, mate? It's all right, he's a pretty strong lad. And that's the thing, you know, we do have people that are pretty strong and they think, I can handle this. And we'll just keep going a bit longer. Okay, well, the second rock, that was broken lives we were talking about. You know, we're broken people in a broken world. And there are a lot of broken things that happen in our lives. And we shouldn't let the devil, the accuser, make us sit in that. But you know, there's another one that's a reasonable sized rock. And this one is broken relationships. There we go. Not too bad. Okay. Alright, that's good. Okay, this is where we find things like unforgiveness, hurt and anger, maybe even violence and abuse. There are many people suffering the aftermath of broken marriages and families, especially the children of those relationships. Is this you? Perhaps you feel you failed as a parent or as a son or a daughter to an aging parent. Are there siblings or members of your extended family that you really don't like and you won't talk to anymore? Are there unresolved conflicts in any of your friendships? Work relationships. What about your church family? Community groups that you belong to? You know, Jesus can set you free from these kind of feelings of failure. Well, what about broken bodies and broken minds? That one's for bodies. And that one's for minds. Here we go. We start to feel it yet? Now, I know not all of you have got all of these in your experiences of life. I don't believe that God ever promised to make it easy, but he did say that he would walk through it with us in all things. And sometimes you might think that this bag's a bit unrealistic, but I'm telling you, the people in this congregation have got this bag and more, much more, that they're dealing with. Well, broken bodies and broken minds. Are you struggling with the fact that your loved ones have significant health issues, perhaps even mental illness, anxiety, depression, or worse? Are you having bad thoughts? I was absolutely devastated to read and hear the news yesterday about Charlotte Dawson, a popular TV presenter and model, 47 years of age, everything to live for, long history of depression, and very sadly took her own life at the prompting of internet bullying. And that's a very sad thing. But you know, you don't have to go with that choice. Jesus does offer another way to deal with things, even like Charlotte had to deal with. And I feel very sorry for her family, well, her sisters particularly, because she did share that she didn't have her parents here with her now. She had no children and no partner. So, must have been very lonely for her. It must have been very hard. But maybe you might be in that same kind of place. You don't have to do it alone. Jesus never intended that that would be the way that you would live your life as a Christian or any otherwise. Broken bodies and broken minds. Perhaps we can pick a few more rocks in there. What about stress? A bit of stress is good. If you need to be motivated and get some work done. But you know, it can get a bit tiresome when it gets really overbearing. And sometimes you don't know which way to turn. And you don't know where the answer is. It's in Jesus. What about stress? Well, we said that. What about worry? You know, the scripture talks about worry. It says that, and this one's a big one. I know I've got one more broken, but I'm going to put this one in anyway. So I don't know about you, but the Bible has a lot to say about worry. How are we going there? Yeah, he's a bit quieter. He's a strong lad, I'm telling you. I've seen the muscles ripple. So I'm telling you, I couldn't do what he's doing right now. I couldn't hold that. He's doing well. Well, what about worry? You know, God says to us very clearly that we should not worry. It's for a very good reason. You want to end up with ulcers? You want to end up with disease? That's what it is in your body. Then worry's one way you'll sure get there. You know, if we truly and utterly trust God completely with our life and with the direction which we're going, then we shouldn't be worrying about things. I know it's hard. I've been there. I've tried. I've thought I'm a big, strong man, and I know my way around this world, and I can do this, and I end up flat in my face worrying about things because I can't do it in my own strength. Neither can you. But Jesus does call us to be yoked to him, to share the workload. We might not be able to do it in our strength, but he can. He can. And we just need to partner with him. And we need to walk the journey with him. You know, we can completely trust God with our lives. Worry, stress and fear don't have to be our governing factors. Fear is said to be one of the most powerful motivating factors in the world. It's also the most crippling. And I'd say to you, a lot of the time we miss out on what God's really got planned for us because we spend too much time being afraid of what we think we can see the consequences of things will be, instead of just stepping out with God and trusting him that he knows what he's doing. Fear. I don't think I put a rock in for that, did I? I'll just put a couple of little ones in there for you. Okay, so the last rock. This is one that I know a bit about. It's called the Rock of Broken Hearts. Yep. This can come from broken relationships, but it can also come from losses, sometimes that are out of our control. Perhaps you've lost a dearly loved pet. I never used to think that that could have such an effect on a person till I lost a few and I started to realise how much it upset me. And it was just a dog or it was just a bird or something like that. But loss can affect you. And I know this rock is a particularly painful one. And I know for some of you it will be quite raw. But hear me when I tell you that Jesus is here this morning. Jesus is here this morning. He sees the pain. And he wants to bring healing into this area of your life. The rock of broken hearts. Well, maybe it's not just a pet. Maybe you're grieving over the death or imminent death or the incapacitation of a loved one. God sees your heart. He knows how much you love or have loved those people, and he loves you more. He knows exactly what is going through your mind and how you feel, and he wants to reach out and he wants to feel it with you. And he wants to share that with you so that your load becomes lighter and he carries that load. Grief is a strong thing. Sadly, there are many people who suffered a terrible abuse at the hands of other human beings. Physical, emotional, even sexual abuse. Your Father in heaven loves you and understands your anger, your hurt, and your pain, and he calls you to give it to him. I myself know what it's like to have buried two children, but I am comforted in the knowledge that they are now in the presence of pure love, and that one day I will see them again. I don't know what it is exactly that is weighing you down in your life. Well, I'm here this morning to tell you, you don't need to carry it around anymore. It's a simple choice. You can allow the weight to continue to break your back. Now, this lad's a strong lad, but I guarantee you if I sat him for a couple of days like this, he wouldn't be standing there like that. As strong as you are, you can't do it yourself. And if you try, you will only end up paying for it severely. It's a simple choice. Allow the weight to continue to break your back and cripple your life, or you can take it to the cross. Jesus is here to take your share of the load and replace it with the freedom he's always intended for you to have. Why Jesus, you ask? Well, before going to that, I'm going to take that backpack off you, Brendan, and I'll get you, perhaps, if you wouldn't mind, to just go and place it at the foot of the cross over there. How's that feel?
Yeah, good.
Good? So you're going to be able to play cricket next week?
Hopefully.
Well, I'm praying it will be with renewed vigour and in the power of the Holy Spirit, going with you, mate. Score 100. And thanks for that. Yes, you can give him a clap. He's doing all right. I'm just watching the way he's walking there. I hope he's going to be all right. You know, Jesus is here to take your share of the load. Why Jesus? Can't I just talk it over with my parents? I do a lot of that. My siblings, or other people that it concerns. Perhaps I could get some counselling from the pastor. or maybe even some professional help. Well, these things are good and may all prove useful, but if you truly want to be free, you need to come to Jesus. Jesus understands our situation completely and is in a position to do something about it. Hebrews 4:14-16, this should be up there. It says, since we then have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested, and as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Now, I know some of the things I've spoken about this morning are pretty heavy, and some of them for you may be quite raw. But what I want to say to you is that this message is not about just trying to drag up and dredge up things that have been difficult for you. But I know that the devil takes things and tries to bring them back and use them and push you down and keep you down with these kind of things. And I want to say to you here this morning that we need to let them go. We need to come to the cross. We need to lay it at the foot of the cross, and we need to leave it there. Now, you may not have had an effect from a lot of those things I've talked about, but I bet you there's some there. I bet you there's some that keep coming back. I know for me, I think, oh no, I'm doing okay. And then something comes up and I have to remember yet again, hey, let's take it back to the cross. Let's spend some time talking to God. Let's put it to death once again because I'm crucified with Christ. This beautiful passage of scripture that John read out a little bit earlier tells us Jesus came to fulfill this prophecy. He stood up in the synagogue in Nazareth and he declared to all those who were present, he said this, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that the captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favour has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. And in their righteousness they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. What a picture. That is what God sees when he looks at you and me. He doesn't see a defeated, disillusioned, deflated Christian that's battling with the devil over issues. He sees oaks of righteousness that are to his glory. He bestows joy where there would be sorrow. He gives us what we need to live that victorious life. What should be our response? Well, it should be the same as any other day. Same today as any other day. Because we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honour beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Something that I am often reminded of when I read the scripture is what is the very worst that the devil can do? In my eyes, the worst is that he would take my life prematurely. But I believe that God has my days numbered. I will go when God decides. And not only that, if that is the worst he can do, then hey, when it happens, I'm going home and I'm going to glory and I'm going to live in a place where there's going to be no disease and no sickness and no death, no tears, none of those things. So what's the worst the devil can do? Send you home to be with your Father in heaven. We've got nothing to fear from him. We've got no reason to shiver in our boots. We've got no reason to listen to his lies. We can stand up to him and say, hey, you're dead, you're defeated, you're gone. The cross of Christ has dealt with you. We can stand in victory. We can know God's abundant life and victorious life that he has purposed for us. So scripture says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. We need to come to the cross afresh today. Confess our sin and our need of God's forgiveness. We need to reappropriate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ by confessing that our sinful nature is nailed to the cross with Christ and it's staying there. And that when we have been clear on that, to understand that we've been washed clean with the blood of Jesus Christ, that we stand white as snow. When God looks at us, he looks through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he sees us as he will when we go to be with him in eternity. And he does that by choice. And what a glorious thing that is. I don't need to be carrying all this stuff around that's in that backpack. I can leave it with Jesus. And I can move on in victory. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus is calling you to the cross. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. Come to the well and drink from the rivers of living water. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And on the last day, in the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The work of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and get on with the job of serving him. The Lord is here today to take your burdens. Perhaps you've never confessed him as Lord and Saviour. I invite you to come and kneel at the cross and pour out your heart to him and walk away free, a new creation in Christ. Perhaps you've been carrying around the weight of the world or just part of it. Then come and lay it at the foot of the cross. As the music plays, I've got some music we're going to play shortly. I invite you to come. I've set up these two tables here. I'll put some pebbles back if we need. But I would invite you. Perhaps you feel that there are some burdens that you want to lay down. Then I'd invite you to come. Grab a pebble. Come to the foot of the cross. I'll put the cross, well, we're actually going to put it over there, but I've got the bucket down here. I invite you to put it in the bucket, and as you put it in the bucket, you just lay it down and confess that it's nailed to the cross with Christ, that it's gone, and that you're free, and that you can move on. Or, if you have a bit more of a flair for the dramatic, then you might like to sit on this table over here and write some things down. There's some paper there and some pens. And then what we're going to do is we're going to put this cross on this table here. And there's a hammer and there's some nails there. Okay, we've made sure the nails don't go through into the tables, so no matter how hard you hit them, okay? So, write it down. Fold it up. Nail it to the cross. And leave it there when you walk away. Can I encourage you to do that? As the Holy Spirit is speaking you today, as He's putting those things in your mind, as we've been talking today, don't leave them go. Don't let them fester. If they're things that are sitting on your heart, come and deal with them this morning. I pray that you will. While you listen and you wait to listen to the music, oh, sorry, one more thing. These are strictly confidential. It's between you and God. Whatever you write on that piece of paper and fold up and nail to that cross, you and God are the only eyes that will ever see it. Okay, I'll take it afterwards and destroy it without looking at it. So it's purely between you and God. So I encourage you to do it. While you wait, listen to the music, follow the lyrics on the PowerPoints. Pour out your heart to God. If you'd like someone to talk and pray with you, Pastor John or myself, maybe a few others might be over here. And we'll remain here for a little while if you want someone to talk to and pray with you. And in a little while, I will pray to finish the service. After which you're invited to share morning tea with us. But should you wish to remain for a little while, just while morning tea is going on, then please feel free to do so and just soak in the presence of God. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can know with absolute surety that we don't need to carry the weight of the world around on our shoulders. That what we need to do is we need to partner with you. We need to take your yoke upon us and we need to allow you to carry the heavy weight. Father, we thank you that you did that at the cross through sending Jesus to die, through his death, his burial and the resurrection, that you dealt with our unconfessed sin for all time. We just need to acknowledge that and appropriate it. Father, I thank you that many people here already know you and love you as their Lord and Saviour. But Father, I'm aware that there are hurts and there are pains that still plague our lives and carry weight. Father, I pray that this morning we might just surrender them once more to your cross. And every time they surface and the devil tries to use them, we'll surrender them again and again and again and again until finally they become a distant memory. And Father, that we will know what it is to walk in victory, to be led by your Spirit, to have the joy deep within us that comes from a life that is lived in total dependence upon you and in total trust of you. Thank you, Jesus, and we pray that you would be with us this morning as we do business with you. Amen. So I want to encourage you, just as we put the music and the lyrics on, maybe there's something that you want to come and deal with. I want to give you that opportunity to do that this morning. If not, then feel free to sit quietly, think about God, think about the music. And after a little while, I'll pray and morning tea will be served. Let's just play the music.